of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
Good morning. There is something interesting about how God's providence works. A lot of the time, it feels to us like a twisted backwardness in our regular lives. Realizing our dreams while aspiring to do what's right is a vast, vast ocean, alone, unnavigable. The winds of distraction and the waves of uncertainty are going to toss you around pretty badly. We're lucky, though, because God has his hands on the rudder. In our times of need and lacking, we pray for peace and stability, because we know that when God is sailing, no matter the toss of the waves nor the gusts of sea gales, our vessel is stable. It is calm. It is afloat. That is not to say that our lives, of which this seafaring vessel may represent, will not go astray. Even with God leading us through the ebb and flow of sea currents, we still have the power to confuse ourselves, to focus so heavily on surviving the storm that we forget where we are headed. Knowing that God's peace guides us allows us to stay calm in rough waters. It allows us to keep focused on God's will and purpose for us on earth, even when our visions of what that might be are hazy, maybe having been blurred by the speed and commotion of our daily lives. I bet Joseph felt quite hazy and blurred and backwards after being thrown into a slaver's pit by his brothers, his family, his kin. He'd had a vision of greatness, of power, of the ability to do good, and yet there he sat, at the bottom of a pit from which its original focus must have felt quite thrown off. For if God wanted him to fulfill dreams of rulership, of great kinship, how could being sold into Egyptian slavery work in that regard? Yet in the struggle of working for Potiphar and spending several years in prison afterwards, God continued to steer him, plan in mind. When Joseph was later requested by Pharaoh to personally assist him, the visions, the plan, the toil all came together. As Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, it became clear that his vision of rulership was to be realized. Now, I'd say that being thrown into a pit by your family, being sold into slavery, accused of an affair, and being thrown into prison aren't what you'd consider smooth sailing. This time last year, amidst a great storm, life slowed down for many of us. Work shut down, schools closed, the church had to shut its doors. Things got hectic outside our vessels. We became isolated with family, for many without. Some of us lost loved ones. We struggled with not being involved with the regular panic of everyday confusion. At the same time, however, I think a lot of us got the chance to take a deep look inside. In our instability, we were able to remember God's stability and His peace that guides us. There is so much we can't possibly control, so we rely on our shepherd, because at the end of every vast ocean, there are green pastures. But whatever can we do? What can we control? Growing up involved with Nassau Church has definitely impacted my outward perspective on everyday interactions with other people. That impact was really kickstarted through youth trips. I remember eighth grade summer going to Tennessee on Appalachia Service Project with the intention of fixing up some homes, maybe seeing a new thing or two. I remember having such a culture shock from how differently many of those folks talked, ate, lived, especially by how generous they were. It's cliche, but for most of us at that age, having genuine interactions with people in such different circumstances sets off something within us. That trip and the several to follow planted the seed of an idea in my head that you never know the rough waters someone may be in. A year later, I was asked to join Session and the church youth committee. I did not really know what I was signing up for at the time, but I'm glad that I did. The discussions we have at meetings, especially now in times of isolation and loneliness, about how to reach out, how to connect better with each other, have furthered that question. Whatever can we do? Last spring, I was working an early morning shift at Sacred Coffee, just down the street, mostly just sitting around, waiting for an occasional customer. This was when lockdown was pretty strict and we were just using the takeout window for service. About halfway through the shift, a lady walked up to the window, definitely confused about how the system worked, and asked if we sold lattes, and I said we did. Now this was when almost everything was closed, Starbucks, Small World, even 7-Eleven. And I remember her being so excited just to get out and grab a cup of coffee. I made her drink and walked it over to the window for her to pay. The payment system we had was built into the window kind of poorly, and I was having trouble explaining how it worked. She was having trouble figuring out, and so I just said, "Hey, it's on us today." And the smile that rose from her face has stuck with me since. I think she did a lot more for me that day than I did for her. I didn't think much of it at the time. I was just trying to keep things simple, keep the flow going. Shortly after, though, I realized that I'd had no idea what rough waters she might have been going through. Something so trivial might have just made her day. So whatever can we do? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, if you think you can be true or honorable or just or pure or right by another, do it.
The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to focus today on these couple of verses from Philippians chapter 4. As a teenager dealing with the stress of school, sports, and up until recently, college applications, the suggestion, do not worry about anything, was decidedly difficult to follow. In my day-to-day life, between my three-hour crew practices and long hours in the classroom and on Zoom, the peace of God got left by the wayside. It was not until a completely random event occurred, the type that I will only get to experience a few times in my life, that I truly understood the words of Paul.
It was around 6 p.m., and the March sky was darkening, the sun's final brilliance trickling over the horizon. Driving myself home from practice, with the windows down and the wind playing in my hair, I felt a calm sort of exhaustion settle into my bones. Without realizing it, I began to pray. I am the type to pray as I go, in a casual manner. And I like to think of it as if God and I each had a walkie-talkie, and every now and then I offer up a, "Dear Lord, it's me again," over. I have my mom to thank for this particular style of prayer, because when I was younger, she would have me sing before I went to bed, "Day is done, gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky. All is well, safely rest, God is nigh." As the years passed and my understanding of my faith grew, I began to finish my recitation of taps with a request to God or a prayer of gratitude. I became used to having a conversation with God, even if it was just one way, instead of following a pre-written prayer. That evening, with the open road flying by, I found myself talking to God about the college process. I asked that he would guide me through it, and he would make it so that I ended up at the perfect school for me. Imagine my surprise when I felt unexpected and unbidden tears roll down my face as I pulled into the driveway. That surprise, however, gave way to a feeling I will never forget. It was one of utter conviction, absolute certainty that everything would be okay. I was as sure of it as my own name. In that moment, as I cried to myself in the car, I was convinced that I was feeling the peace of God, that God was right there in the passenger seat. The only other time I had felt such a profound sense of peace was when I traveled to the monastic community in Taizé, France, with some wonderful people from our church community. I spent a week living alongside my fellow youth group members, church leaders, and a myriad of people from all around the world. We passed the time with prayer, contemplation, and song, away from the demands of everyday life, away from the pull of technology. It was during this time I experienced an entirely different, an incredibly peaceful way of living. As I sat on the floor of the great hall where we held worship, listening to the chants of Taizé being offered up by hundreds of voices, the peace and love of God was palpable. Following those two experiences, those few verses from Philippians seem much more real. It was one thing to read the words, but to experience such moments cemented in my mind the fact that the Lord really is near. Now, I understand that not everyone will have an epiphany in their car or be able to spend a week in a monastic community. But, as Paul said, by reaching out to God with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Going forward, I want to consciously make more time to reach out to God. I want to make more opportunities to feel this wondrous peace which surpasses all understanding. And these opportunities can be small moments, like offering a prayer on an afternoon walk, or on the drive to school, or to and from the mailbox. But as I have found, God only needs an instant. I hope that you, members of the congregation, will also add these brief interludes of prayer to your lives as well. Because God truly is nigh, and he loves us all, and he offers us an incredible peace. Amen.